We're continuing the laws of Shabbos. There is a very nice custom to adorn our Shabbos table with nice flowers. Could be roses. There's a nice custom to sing Shabbos songs and to speak, to tell our family Divrei Torah on the Parsha. That requires preparation. It's up to you guys. Got to take some time beforehand and prepare. And all of this is part of the atmosphere of the Shabbos table that should be there. Talking Divrei Torah, singing Zmiros of Shabbos. It's recommended. It's not halacha, but it's recommended that you try to get your Shabbos table as traditional as possible. Traditionally, people have a white tablecloth. People sing certain traditional tunes. There may be many tunes that are very cool. Try to keep it traditional so your kids have a picture of what a traditional Shabbos table looks like. Different cultures have different traditional Shabbos meals. So for some houses, it's the gefilte fish. For some houses, it's the chicken soup. For some houses, it's the homemade challah. For some houses, it's the chulin. For some houses, it's the chamin. For some houses, it's the homemade tchina and hummus. It's up to you, and it's up to you which culture you'll find your house associated with, and your wife, what culture she'll be associated with. But at the end of the day, you should try to fit. And these little things have a big impact. When a kid knows that at the Shabbos table he eats his mommy's challahs, or when a kid knows that the Shabbos table has certain tunes, that builds the tradition, and that builds the sense of belonging for a child, and that's very important. It's almost inevitable that your child will feel the brunt of your tshuva process. As much as you'll try to be traditional, there are going to be things that you err, that you make mistakes on. And it's not your fault. You're doing the best you can. But you have to try to minimize that. If you aspire to be traditional, then there will still be minimal areas where you're not. If that's not a criterion for you, if that's not a priority for you, so then you'll end up being very far from tradition. If you live in China and everyone else eats their Shabbos meal on the floor, I don't mind if you eat yours on the floor. But if you live in Jerusalem or New York, and ordinarily people sit on certain chairs at certain tables, and you're going to sit and say, Shabbat, we're doing Chinese. That's not good. It's not good. There's no halacha that says you can't sit on the floor when you eat your Shabbos meal. But that's not good for your kids. Let the kids experience a real Shabbos meal. So you'll say, but we all love Chinese. What's wrong if we eat Chinese for Shabbat? And I'll say, there's nothing wrong, but stay traditional. You can be traditional Yemenite, you could be traditional Sephardi, you could be traditional Ashkenazi, whichever culture you're going to join. But be a part of it. And the fact that other things are great ideas, leave them for the rest of the week. On Shabbos, part of what you're trying to give your kids is that understanding, that appreciation, and that home where they'll grow up, like their friends will grow up. You don't need their friends coming back after they've visited you and saying, what a special house. You want their friends to feel comfortable. I'll tell you a beautiful story. This story took place about 12 years ago. There was a young couple that were getting married here in Jerusalem. It was a wintry night. It was the end of the month of Teves, and it started snowing. It was unclear who would make it to that wedding. And the one who officiated the wedding was Rabbi Avram Shapiro, the chief rabbi of Israel, Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Arav. The groom was one of his disciples, one of the students of Merkaz Arav. And the kala came from Har Nof, the groom came from New York. And they finished writing the ksuba, and they're getting ready to go down the aisle. So the groom, having come from New York, his parents assumed that they would both walk him down the aisle. And Rabbi Avram Shapiro says, no, the custom here in Jerusalem is that the two fathers walk the son down the aisle, not his own parents, but rather his father and the bride's father walk him down the aisle. There's a pause. The family's rabbi from New York has made it to the wedding. He happened to have been visiting in Israel. And he stands there and he tells the groom's father, "No, we do it the way you said. You and your wife can take the groom down to the aisle." And Rabbi Shapiro, who started walking ahead because he thought he was leading the procession, suddenly hears commotion behind him. He turns around and he sees what's going on. And he says, "No, the two fathers will walk him down." To which the rabbi from New York says, "Rabbi, our custom is that the father and mother walk the groom down to the aisle." And Rabbi Shapiro looks at him and says, "The custom of Jerusalem is much older than you are, so have respect for the custom of Jerusalem. That's the custom here, and the two fathers will walk him down. Period." And that's what happens. A day later, it's Sheva Brachos, and the Chassan's father gets up to speak. And he says, "You know, last night, there was an interesting little commotion when it came time to walk our son down the aisle. I had always envisioned that my wife and I would walk our son down the aisle. And along comes the chief rabbi of Israel and says, here in Jerusalem, the custom is that the two fathers walk him down. And he doesn't let it happen. He insists that we stick to that custom. So we're about to walk down the aisle, and I look over to our mechutanim, our daughter-in-law's parents, and her father is coming to walk my son down the aisle. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of custom is this? A total stranger. I barely know this guy. He's going to walk my son down the aisle together with me?" Fair feeling. It's a fair emotion for that moment. And then the father of the groom went on and said, "But you know what? I looked at him and I said to myself, I brought up my son in New York. He brought up his daughter in Jerusalem. And we have the same Shabbos table. We celebrate the same Rosh Hashanah, the same Sukkos, the same Pesach. We brought our houses up in the same tradition. And although my house is connecting with his house from two ends of the world, we're the same house. We're the house of Israel. Where we both brought up our children traditionally the same way. So, yes, it makes sense. Now he and I are walking my son down the aisle." So that's one of those speeches I heard that I don't think I'll ever forget. I'm just saying, you want your house to be that type of house where when you get married, when your daughters are going to get married, when your sons are going to get married, the other side will be able to look at your house and say, that house is just like mine. It's one of those traditional houses where I know the same way I brought up my kids, they brought up their kids. The same songs we sang on Shabbos, they sang on Shabbos. The same way we celebrated Rosh Hashanah, could be we were half a world away. We have the same Judaism. What very often happens for Chozrim Tshuva and Gerim is that in order for a person to accomplish as a Chozer B'Tshuva, he has to be an individualist. He has to be someone who goes against the tide. For everyone around him went one path and he decided, no, I'm going the other way. But then when a Chozer B'Tshuva enters the life of Judaism, so then suddenly he has to conform. And that runs against his grain. Why do I have to sing the same songs everyone else does? Why can't I sing my Tzur Mishalo, Achalnu Terapit, Tzur Mishalo, Achalnu. What's wrong with that? Where in Shulchan Aruch does it say you can't sing a rap beat to Tzur Mishalo, Achalnu? You're right, it doesn't say it anywhere. But what type of home are you bringing up? So, food for thought. As a direction to go, your kids need to grow up in a home that's as close as possible to the traditional home.